Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jeff Dunphy. It is Friday, September 12th, 2014, and this is Retooling for Our Coming of Age. We have spent the last several programs discussing the higher realms of aspiration, and today we are going to have a wee conversation about the current state of world affairs. I'm going to be speaking of some dark things, I'm going to be speaking of some dead-end alleys, and I'm going to be speaking of some agendas that may not very well be, that may be not very well thought out. So with that, and in keeping with one of my friends' observations, is it's no good complaining, because complaining and moaning and groaning about it doesn't help any. But being aware of it and being able to see things clearly with eyes unclouded by longing is probably something that is in our best interests. Now, for those of you who may have noticed, I think it's fair to say that Barack Obama just declared a war. Now, his declaration of taking up arms and creating a degrade and destroy of ISO, which is far more favorable because I have a great reverence for the word ISIS and for the goddess ISIS. But he has taken a great position, and he's going to degrade and destroy it with a broad range of coalition. Well, it's the old adage that when you get into a fist fight, you trust that your friends are there and they're happy to kind of pitch up to give you a hand. However, it is a little less convivial in terms of the Americans saying we're going to conduct airstrikes and drones. Well, the drones are an easy way to bomb things and blow things up, which is, from a military stance, politically far more acceptable than putting boots on the ground. Now, the phrase boots on the ground is that they're putting Americans at risk. Now, the act of putting Americans at risk should not be lost on any of us. However, it is very politically incorrect to put the boys and girls that work for the U.S. military blindly at risk. And the fact is they've all been brainwashed into going into military action without a balanced perspective on things, because sometimes the agenda of every government, let alone the American government, is shrouded in personal agenda and in economic gain. We're starting to see, as I've spoken of historically, that it's an incredibly difficult and challenging thing to police the world. We're also seeing that when he says we're going to degrade and destroy the ISO, he also has the Congress saying, yeah, go for it. So we have a $5 billion credit card just given to Obama when his economy is falling down around his ears. And we have all of the bipartisanship is disappearing because, my goodness, we need to destroy this enemy, which is vague and abstruse and has tenuous grasp of how, in fact, to do it. One of the things that is not lost on most people, that when he goes in to try to destroy destroy this ISO, as the U.S. People talk, the talking heads call it, destroying ISO has many agendas, and perhaps those people who are invested in what's going on want to help it get rid of Bashar as well. There's a whole bunch of things in here. Now, what I want to do is share with you a clip that I've recently found and talks about this broad coalition and how the world has perceived and responded to Obama's declaration of war.
As countries in the Middle East in the forefront when it comes to combating terrorists and terrorism in the region.
Let me be clear, Brits will not be taking part in any airstrikes in Syria. I can be very clear about that. We've already had that discussion in our parliament last year, and we won't be revisiting that position.
Okay. So there's the broad coalition. The Brits are saying, no flipping way, we're not going to do that. It's been visited in the parliament, we're not going to do that. Now, this next guy is the German guy, and I'm going to let you listen to him in German, and then I'll translate for you.
In großer Eindeutigkeit, weder sind wir gefragt worden, das zu tun, noch werden wir es tun.
So that basically said, I mean, the Germans basically said, nobody asked us to participate, and we are not going to participate. So color me curious. However, when you sort of assume you're going to take action like this, unilateral action, which it shows out, and the unilateral action is, I'm going to bring in all my partners and pals. The first out of the gate is, now, granted, the first lad had something to say about we need to play with this. This was the guy from Jordan. The next two, England and Germany, said, no, absolutely not. We're not going to be participating in airstrikes. Now, here's an interesting aspect of airstrikes. Airstrikes are one thing. There's no way they're going to be able to facilitate the destruction of these guys without boots on the ground. Just any military personnel know that boots on the ground is absolutely necessary, which is political suicide for the Americans right now. Okay, now here is Israel.
As we roll back,
this is Netanyahu.
Ultimately, we defeated. That's why Israel fully supports President Obama's call for united actions against ISIS.
Yeah.
So the Israelis say we are absolutely and we fully are in support because Israel is the largest recipient of funds from the Americans. The Americans effectively fund an enormous amount of the economy of the country.
It's fully understood the situation and the alarming development of this terrorist organization within Iraq and Syria and the entire region. So there is a full understanding of the nature of the problem.
Now, this guy is inside Iraq, and he's a spokesman for the Kurdish leadership, so that they have an internal mess going on in the country, and what they're basically saying is we now have a hand to go and play with this. And the next guy coming up is speaking in Russian, so you won't understand him, but I will again interpret once we get done here.
Соединенных Штатов прямо заявил о возможности нанесения американскими вооруженными силами ударов по позициям исламского государства.
The Americans have declared that they're directly going in and going to take airstrikes and the like.
На территории Сирийской Арабской Республики без согласия НАТО закон.
Without a legitimate government consent, is what he went on to say.
Но правительство. Подобный шаг в отсутствии соответствующего решения Совета Безопасности.
Such a step in the absence of the United Nations backing it, telling us that this is okay, is an act of aggression. Okay, you know when we started to hear acts of aggression historically, we started to hear them when we were either in the throes, around the throes, or just prior to the throes of a world war.
ООН стал бы актом агрессии, грубым нарушением норм международного
права. So, now let us participate in a conversation that suggests, and Turkey's out as well, I mean, I don't have a clip of the Turks saying, so now let us participate in this place where we say we are going to get a whole bunch of people to join us in fighting ISO. Now, do I think ISO is bad and evil? Absolutely. Do I think they're misguided? Absolutely. Do I think they're creating havoc and violations against humanity? Absolutely. I don't know what the solution is, but I do know that the major players on the planet are positioning themselves not collaboratively, but at cross purposes to one another. Now, Russia has declared or has stated that this is an act of aggression. Now, the Russians right now, the Russians and the Chinese and the Americans have another dance going that is completely, well, nothing's ever completely separate and exclusive of something else, but it is another sideline. And that sideline is that the Russians are playing in the Ukraine. And the Russians playing in the Ukraine with heavy hands and with economic agenda are playing in a manner that says to the rest of the Americans and its allies, we're going to pursue economic sanctions against you, Russia, for doing these things. Now, for doing these things, we're going to compromise the economy. We're going to create financial restraints. We're going to not give you access to the debt and equity market in the States, and the Germans and the Brits and the whole vast array are pursuing these economic sanctions against Russia. And so what effectively is happening is that they are forcing the Russians and the Chinese to form an alliance under the phrase of, well, you know, the enemy of an enemy of mine. If you have the same enemy of mine, then you're a friend of mine. Because as we both take exception to the way the Americans are playing this hand, this heavy hand, of policing the planet, of imposing their political agenda on other parts of the world and getting themselves deeper and deeper into debt, we start to play a hand of, this ain't getting no better. In fact, it's getting worse and worse. Now, what's also shouldn't be lost on all of us is that domestically, the American economy is in the tank and having a real go. And the real go suggests that they've dug themselves into a hole so deep that they, even though they want to see interest rates come up in order to inflate their way out of this, they could never do that. The aspect of getting themselves out of debt, it becomes more and more and more ominous. And Congress has just said, yes, go spend another $5 billion in the fight in Iraq, the ISO fight. Okay, there's a wee little insight into some of these aspects. Now let us play the hand of what's going on in Britain politically. The Brits right now are going through a referendum, and the referendum merely asks the questions, should Scotland separate from Britain? Now, we as Canadians have seen this story. We've been to this movie a couple of times, one where the referendum really did happen, and another where the referendum was threatening to happen. Now, let us get with the program and recognize that as go we, so go I. And one of the things that is in the throes of happening in this calamitous time is we are moving away from unification. We are moving into separation. Now, the Scots inside Brit, the Catalans, in Catalonia, in Spain, there are great, some say 500,000, some say 1.5 million, peaceful demonstrations that the Catalonians want to self-rule in Spain. They are very avid about this, and there is lots of political grinding and gnashing of teeth going on in Spain. Now, that being said, we have the Scots in Britain, we have the Catalonians in Spain, and we have the worry, not no words, no movements, nothing, the worry that the French, the Quebecers in Canada are going to start doing that. So consequently, you've seen the Canadian dollar under siege because, again, it threatens the viability of the economy. So we have back to something that we visited many times ago, many shows ago, one of the postulates of ancient teaching, and that is everything is connected from the tiniest atom to the greatest galaxy. And something that can happen 100 billion light years away, we feel it here. Subtly, perhaps, but we do feel it here. Now, one of the things that happens on this teensy-weensy little planet, this little blue dot, as Carl Sagan was once coined the phrase, is that when we see separation happening, we start to see segregation happening, and we start to see an us versus them. This is dangerous. This is counterproductive to the health and the welfare of the planet. And it even isn't productive or progressive to the health and welfare of the Americans. They don't get that by compromising and blowing up and destroying evil on other sides, it is an act of aggression to do that. How it balances out is yet to be seen, but I do know that wars are often not fought for purposes that are completely in alignment with the right way or the Tao. Now, the Americans have a political mess on hand. We've got John Kerry running around. He's in Saudi Arabia. He's in Turkey. He's basically on his knees begging for support. And we now are in this place where the Americans have declared war, and you've got a whole bunch of individuals suggesting that they're not in it. Okay, so now let's revisit the sanctions that the Westerners have imposed on Moscow and how Moscow is going to start to play with the Chinese yuan, Hong Kong renminbi, and the ruble. They're going to start to get out of U.S. dollar hegemony. That is going to create even further angst among the Americans because the U.S. dollar will further lose its wherewithal in terms of being the global reserve currency. We've got a marketplace, a stock marketplace, that suggests the numbers haven't been higher, and yet we've got a whole bunch of trepidation around players in the market that suggest that they think they may need to get out. There is a point in time where everybody goes, okay, the party's over, let's get out. Okay. So a little while ago, in fact it was today, the Treasury unveiled its latest rounds of Russian sanctions. So it's going to impose sanctions on financial, energy, and defense sectors. It's going to add various banks to its sanction list. It's going to affect energetically and via the energy business, Gazprom Neft, Lukoil, Rosneft, and Sugarneftgaz, which is another energy business. And it's going to tighten the debt financing restrictions. So guess what, right? What does Putin come up and say? He says, up your skirt, you guys. We will draft proposals to retaliate against the sanctions. Okay. So now we start to play, yeah, well, let us not lose sight of the fact that when you start to muck with us, we will start to muck with you. I don't know. Color me curious, we have an anniversary of the September 11th, which was a horrifically terrible day in the world of mankind because it was one of the biggest farces and the biggest scams pulled on mankind in order to facilitate an agenda. There was a showing in New York on the destruction of many of the buildings that happened after the planes arrived by engineers and architects and designers that happened yesterday. I have yet to read how well that went down. We've got, as I just said, why U.S. interest rates can never rise, but that's how they're supposed to dig themselves out of this. We've got a whole bunch of economic and political things that are happening that are dire. Now let's play into Mother Nature for a moment, and let's play with the sun. Has in the last day or two, it has created some great, enormous solar flares which affect Earth electromagnetically. Remember the old phrase, we are all connected. The sun's connected to the earth is connected to the sun, the planet is connected to the solar system, all this stuff is connected. Now, we also have a drought in California that suggests over 80% is an extreme drought. Okay, and 100% of California remains at least in drought for at least the fourth month in a row. Well, guess what? Guess what? The earth is responding to this nasty stuff. Okay. So what now? Let us play Let us play something that suggests there is some optimism that needs to be energized. And I want to read an article by Paul Rosenberg called We're Better Than We Think We Are, to give us something to aspire to rather than something to live down. The problem with most humans is not that they think too highly of themselves. It's that they think too little of themselves. They exhibit what G.K. Chesterton called a weird and horrible humility, to put it bluntly. We've been trained to perpetually self-accuse. We grow up to endlessly question ourselves, to stay worried that we might screw something up. The law teaches us that we're always on the edge of being punished. All the years we spend in school teach us to fear mistakes. And unfortunately, many religions teach us that we're always on the verge of falling into sin and damnation. The truth, however, is that we're not that bad. We just think so. Of course, we do sometimes screw things up, but not remotely as often as we mistrust ourselves. And a large percentage of those screw-ups occur precisely because we don't trust ourselves. Human nature has been sold short. Humans have deeply devalued themselves, and I'm hardly the first person to say so. Here's what psychologist Abraham Maslow wrote. Human history is a record of the ways in which human nature has been sold short. The highest possibilities of human nature have practically always been underrated. And here's the Chesterton quote from the defendant that I referred to above. There runs a strange law through the length of human history that men are continually tending to undervalue their environment, to undervalue their happiness, to undervalue themselves. The great sin of mankind, the sin typified by the fall of Adam, is the tendency not towards pride, but towards this weird and horrible humility. And as long as we were bringing up Adam, it's worth noting that the Bible's 82nd Psalm says something that many people find shockingly unbiblical. Ye are gods. This statement was repeated, by the way, by none other than Jesus the Christ. Interpret that any way you like, but these men are clearly not calling us born and degenerate losers. The truth is that we are far more and better than we've given ourselves credit for, and it's time to stop treating ourselves like dangerous beasts. As one of the masters say, we underestimate ourselves. Be ever mindful that the underestimation of your value, your brilliance, your majesty, you do at your own peril. Agents of creation. Humans are agents of creation in the universe. For example, we've taken the raw materials of the physical universe and turned them into things of much greater value. We've turned dirt and rocks into metals, then into vehicles, then used them to generate electricity through invisible forces that we learned how to control. We've built amazingly complex electronic devices, gathered all the information of the world, and made it available to ourselves on devices that we hold in our pockets. We've sent men to the moon and probes outside of our solar system. We travel the oceans and skies on a routine basis. We've unraveled DNA and split the atom, and much, much more. Are we to receive no credit for any of this? Are we to ignore it all because we'd rather cling to our habitual misery? The individual human is an incredible entity in the universe, far higher and better than anything else we can see. And yet, most of us feel bad about ourselves most of the time. It's silly, wrong, and even masochistic. And yet this self-devaluing continues unabated. Yes, as many people will leap to point out, humans have done some very bad things. But those are some humans, not all of us. The vast majority of humans cooperate through the vast majority of their lives. They love their families and work with their friends. Aside from momentary lapses, they mainly build and produce. Yes, there's now a large dependent class, but mostly because they've been tempted, pushed, or fallen into it. Even business, often thought to be a place of competition, is far more about cooperation than anything else. The business owner must induce his employees, suppliers, banks, and customers to cooperate with them. If he fails to engage that cooperation, he has no business. There's a wonderful 3C analogy that we learn and we teach in this classroom that I teach in, called the 3 C's of collaboration, cooperation, and collectivism. In fact, the evils of humanity serve to buttress this point. I won't have space to cover this at length, which is one of this author's newsletters, but let's begin with a statement made by Hannah Arendt, who studied human evil carefully. The sad truth is that most evil is done by people who never make up their minds to be good or evil. Most actual evil is not done willfully, but by a people who abandon their wills. They find themselves weak and shaped by circumstances. This is precisely what we've been talking about in this article. The people whose cooperation was essential to evil cooperated precisely because they devalued themselves. They didn't feel worthy of assessing their own opinions. So if these basically decent people thought better of themselves, felt confident enough to assert themselves, most human evil would simply evaporate. The goodness of existence. Here's another of Chesterton's passage from The Defendant. Every one of the great revolutionists, from Isaiah to Shelley, have been optimists. They have been indignant, not about the badness of existence, but about the slowness of men in realizing its goodness. Both Chesterton and Maslow were right, and the sad truth is that human history has been dominated by people who sold themselves short as a matter of course. They were too intimidated to defend and follow their own thoughts. We've dwelt on our inabilities more than our capabilities, and by a very large margin. We've been animated by the fear of failure rather than the pursuit of our desires. We've been intimidated and confused. Sure, there was something deficient with ourselves. Perhaps, but that was all we focused upon. And that was a wasted illusion, not reality. It's time for us to stop believing that it's our role in life to be ordered around, lest we embarrass ourselves. And it's time to start trusting our own judgment, to start acting on our own will. And so he writes, I'll close with a few lines from a song called Already Gone by the Eagles. And it's so oftentimes it happens that we live our life in chains and we never even know we have the key. We do have the key. And it's turned by accepting that we are better than we thought we were and acting upon that belief. Now, this article was written by a guy named Paul Rosenberg, and he has a newsletter called Free Man's Perspective, and I would suggest that it might be something for those of you to at least pay attention to. We are in a place of choosing. We are in a place of being ever reminded not to go blindly into that maelstrom. Let us not lose sight on the very fact that some pretty awful things are happening. However, what will be going hand in hand with those awful things are wonderful, brilliant, enlightening things. In order for one era to end, it has to end. You have to give it up. It has to extricate itself from the evolution of humanity. Let us contribute to the evolution of mankind, the evolution of humanity, by recognizing that we shortchange ourselves, we underestimate ourselves, and allow ourselves to pay attention to what is really happening, as opposed to be led down the garden path to our own potential slaughter. Take heed, please. Think long and hard on this, please. We have lots of stuff to do. We will have continued shows and episodes in order to further turn the lights on. And we will have a place where we will let everybody know that as go we, so go I. We are indeed better than we think we are. And I would like to end with the phrase that we use often, and it is, there are things to be done by you that are done better by you than anybody else on the planet. Now let us go find them. Let us go partake in them. Let us indulge in the brilliance and the goodness and the godliness. Yep, ye are gods. These things shall ye do and greater things shall ye do. Let us participate in the goodness, in the awakenedness, and in the evolution of mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jeff Dunphy. This is Retooling for Our Coming of Age, and I look forward to being of service to you further. Thank you for allowing me to be of service today. Chat with you next week.